Now, there's a hallelujah hello for you. I've come to tell you tonight, you're under a curse. He said, and you have to stay that way because your pastor won't let me teach you how to give so that the curse can be broken off of you and off of your nation. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Here's the truth about it, folks. The truth about it is there's ways that God has found in obedience in our life to get the blessing of God for us. The problem is some of you enjoy living under the curse of your life. That's why you struggle giving. That's why you struggle with offering. That's why you struggle in being faithful to the house of God, because there's a curse that's been on your life and you don't understand it. I'm here to tell you there's a commanded blessing of God that can come on people who will be faithful to what God has asked them to do. Huh. No. It goes further than that. It goes further than that. It goes further than that. Here's Abraham. God tells Abraham, take your son up on top of that mountain and sacrifice your son. But let me just tell you how this works, how the sovereignty of God works, how our obedience to God works, and how God brings breakthrough. This is how it works. As Abraham and the lad are coming and they get to the mountain and they're coming up the mountain on one side, guess what's happening on the other side? God has got a sacrifice on the other side of the mountain, coming up the other side of the mountain at the same time Abraham is coming up on the other side. And then there's the need that Abraham has, but then there's the answer to the need that God has. Now, Abraham doesn't know that ram is on the other side, but God knows it's there. And it's to tell me that when you become obedient to God and give to God what belongs to God, your need and supply will run into each other. They will hit head on in your life. And I want to tell you, when Abraham got to the top and he was obedient to what God told him to do, God provided the need that he had. And he said, there's a ram there in the thicket. And he spared his son. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? And get this, here it is. Woo! Oh, my Lord. What did Abraham call that place? What did he call it? Come on, somebody who reads their Bible, tell me what Abraham called that place. What did he name it? He named it Jehovah Jireh. Woo! You know what that means? Jehovah Jireh, God, my provider. He understood that being obedient to God, there's a commanded blessing that when he got to the top, God provided to him. He provided for him. He met his need. Why? Because Abraham was walking under a commanded blessing of God, and every step he took towards God was a step of righteousness. I'm telling you the answer to your trouble, the answer to your need is coming up on the other side of the mountain. You just got to learn to get a little bit more obedient to what God is telling you to do. And if you'll be obedient, bless God, when you get to the top, your need will meet you on the other side. Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, it goes deeper. Woo, it goes deeper than that. Let's dig some more. And what happened? God told Abraham, I will now make you a blessing. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, whoo, oh my God. He said in Genesis chapter 12, those who bless you, I will bless. Whoo, oh my goodness. Why? There was a commanded blessing that was on Abraham's life. It was a commanded blessing. I'm going to put such a blessing on Abraham. Listen to this. I'm going to put such a blessing on his life for his obedience that everybody that connects to you will be blessed. Woo! Hey, is that not true? He said, I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. Woo! You shall be the father of many nations. And God put a blessing on Abraham out of his obedience that went all the way through the Old Testament into the New Testament, and it began to bless the world. Why? Because it was Jesus that came through Father Abraham, and Jesus came through and blessed the whole world. Blessed the whole world because of one man's obedience. And the commanded blessing of God came upon him. Woo! Oh, Lord Jesus, get a hold of this. Oh my, I got so much more, but I got to skip some of it. to get where I want to go. Let me tell you, the blessing of God is just not cash, Cadillacs, buildings, cabin cruisers, and condominiums. That sounds like a rap. The blessing of God is not cash, condominiums, cruisers. You know, I could rap that. Hey, those things are nice. But I want to tell you, I've seen people driving nice cars and be cursed. I've seen people having nice things and not be blessed. I'm going to tell you, the blessing is a real thing. The blessing of God. Hey, listen, I got to thinking about this, and I was reading in Genesis, and the Bible said, what day did God create man? What day? Y'all read your Bible. I'm just checking. Lord Jesus, I'm going to have a beginner's class. Y'all read it. It's on the first 4 or 5 pages. You ain't got that far. You need prayer at the end of service today. Can't get into the first 5. What? Tim said one, day one. No, he didn't create God at all. 6, okay. I was getting ready to pray for you because you a councilman, and if you don't know that. He created God on the 6th day, right? He created man. Woo! He didn't create God, he created man on the 6th day. See, y'all got me all stirred up because y'all don't know your Bible. I've got me all. So he made man on the 6th day, and the Bible said on the 7th day, it said that he rested on the 7th day. We know that, right? But sometimes we don't read over the word said, and he blessed the 7th day. See, the first day that God, that man walked into after he was created was the blessed day. He didn't create him the first day and had him walk through all of creation. He created him on the 6th day so that man could wake up and walk into the blessed day, the day that God blessed, the Sabbath day, the day of rest. There, see, that tells me God wants to bless you, wants you to walk, wake up every day and walk into the blessing of God that is on your life. Mm-hmm. Oh, my. Oh, my. The 6th day he blessed man. It's a commanded blessing. It is activated when we understand two principles. The two principles is, one, is ownership and stewardship. Ownership and stewardship. My God. Now, God owns everything. Do I need to repeat that? Did y'all read that in the Bible? God owns everything. It says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You hear me? He said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It belongs to him. That's ownership. God owns everything. Now, remember, when you ask or believe God for something, you're not asking him to go steal it from someplace else to give it to you. Right? He owns it. He owns it. It don't belong to the devil. Haggai 2 says this. It says, God said, I own the silver. I own the gold. I own it all. It all belongs to me. Therefore, if I'm walking in a commanded blessing, by the right of ownership, God can send me anything into my life that I need because he owns it. When you're walking in blessing, there's nothing God keeps from you. You all act like God's got to go ask the devil for permission. You all act like God's got to go beg, hey, can you bless, hey, devil, could you, for a minute, could I take this and bless them for that? Like God's begging with the devil. He owns it all. He created it. So if you're walking in the blessing of God, in the commanded blessing, and you ask for it in obedience to God's will, he don't have to go beg, steal it, or take it from somebody. It's his. He just takes it from here and gives it to you right here. It's the blessing of walking in a commanded blessing of God. It's God. He's the ownership. We have to understand that God owns it all. God owns it all. God owns it all. He owns it all. Children of Israel thought Pharaoh owned it all. He said, no, no, no. He said, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. See, it's lordship. That word Lord means to be Lord over, to own. It's an ownership word. Now, we do own things when in relation to one another, but we don't own things when it comes to God. The difference is that we don't own things one with another. We own them one with another. Now, I own a watch. It's mine. But that's in relation to you. I own a house. That's in relation to you. But God owns it all. He owns it all. That's in relationship with Him. What He's done has allowed me to steward over what He owns. So there's a difference between ownership and stewardship. Before you can ever walk in the command and blessing of God, you have to first understand it don't belong to you. It belongs to Him. He's just letting you borrow it. He's just letting you steward over it. He's just letting you have it. Now, whether you walk in the blessing or not is if you steward over it the way God has commanded you to steward over it. Oh, yeah, okay. I'm going to meddle. We are His servants. I don't have to ask the devil. God said, I gave it to you. He told the children of Israel, I'm going to give you the land in which I will show you. And what did God say? God said, I will drive out the inhabitants that is there. Why? Why does God have a right to do that? You say, well, I felt sorry for the Jebusites and the Perizzites and the mosquito bites and all them that God drove out. I felt sorry for all those Canaanites. I don't. You know why? Because if they were obedient people, God would have found a way to bless them. But because God owns it, He's going to take the wealth of the wicked and give it to the righteous. Oh, yeah. My goodness. If this was a Pentecostal church, y'all, there you, Lord, good Lord, Lord, y'all give me a Lord clap. Y'all too white around here. If I was in a black church, they'd be running everywhere. They'd have the tambourines going and shouting. Why? Because they own. Praise the Lord. I said the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And God's not stealing it. He's taking what's His and giving it to those who walk in the covenant blessing of God. Woo! Hey! You just need to stand up and walk in it so God can get it to you. Ah! Woo! Woo! Oh man, I can't even get to my Apple presentation. Woo! Oh my God. Help me, Jesus. Woo! He put trees in a garden. He told Adam and Eve, He said, you eat of every tree of the garden except for that one. Why? Why? Because by not eating of that tree, Adam and Eve showed God that they understood He was the owner of it. And that's what happens in our life. God will put things within our reach that belong to God and says, if you don't touch it and be obedient to what I say and you don't touch what belongs to me, there will be a blessing that will come on you if you're obedient to it. But the deception of the enemy is to make you to believe that what belongs to God also belongs to you. And I'm here to tell you it doesn't belong to you. And God will put something within your reach and tell you it's His so that you can acknowledge the fact that He is the owner and you are the stewards. Woo! God sometimes will put something in your reach, in a role in your life, and God says, this belongs to me. Can I tell you there are things that God has put in your life that you're not ownership of, you're just steward of? Husbands, your wife, you don't own your wife, you're a steward of your wife. Wives, you don't own your husband, you steward. In marriage, you steward what God has given you. You don't own your children, you're steward over your children. You don't own. Ooh. Why? Because the Bible says that children are a heritage of what? The Lord. God puts them in your hands. We have a generation that wants to say, mine, 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 mine. Mine, 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 mine. Like a 2-year-old. Listen, lust doesn't reveal the desire of the heart. Obedience does. Obedience reveals the better. Listen, that's why we live in the world. That's why the argument against abortion is that this is my body. I can do with it what I want to do with it. It's my body. Keep your hands off my body. Let me tell you, sweetheart, it ain't your body. It belongs to God. God says you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You don't own you. God owns you. He made you, created you. He's got the right to you, and you sure don't own. Y'all hear what I'm saying? We have a world that says, mine, 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 and they're cursed. But God says if you'll learn to walk in obedience, I'll get the blessing of God to your life. There's a difference between stewardship. Now, all right. I've got 10 minutes. It's 7 minutes till, all right? All right, I need some help. I need a couple ushers. Now, I'm going to show you this. You got too many apples up here. I only need 10. I'm going to put this green one over here. Now, guys, I want you to take these apples, and I want you to pass them out. Just randomly to people. Pass them all out. All right? Pass them all out. Quickly. Come on, quickly. Come on, you got to run. Now, don't eat them. Hit that guy back there sleeping. Wake him up. Give him one. Now, listen to me just a second. Now, y'all liked it. Amen. When I was preaching about Adam and Eve, now I'm going to talk about you. Now, the Bible tells us in Leviticus 27:30, it says that the Lord owns the tenth of everything. That is more than just a written law. That is a moral law. All the way through the Old Testament into the New. A tenth belongs to God. That is the principle. A tenth belongs to God. Y'all agree with me on that? All right. Tenth belongs to God. It all belongs to God. And here's what happens. Here's the fact is. One out of 10 of everything God gives you, God owns. That's ownership. First of all, it all belongs to God. Somebody say amen. It all belongs to God. Now, God just says, I'm only going to take a tenth, but you get to have the rest of it. That's a pretty good deal, right? Is that a good deal? He says, you get to be a steward over the rest of what's here. You get the steward over it. You get to do what you want with it. Well, not everything you want with it. But the reason you don't eat this one, because you don't eat it, because by not eating it, you're coming in agreement with God saying, God, I recognize that you are the ownership of it all. You hear what I'm saying? You don't eat it because if you eat it, then there's a curse that comes on your life. Because God says, I'm only letting you steward over it. You don't own it. I own it. You steward over it. This belongs to me. But if you eat this, then this is cursed, as it all is. Y'all with me? So in honor of him, the commanded blessing comes on when we understand and recognize God's ownership in our life. It all starts with what God puts in our hands. If you want the commanded blessing of God in your life, you've got to understand the difference between what God owns and what he gives you to steward. God don't want you to put your hand on what he owns and what belongs to him. There are certain things that God has told us in Scripture that belong to him and not you. But he'll let you steward over the rest. You with me? And so, the practical part of this is this. The Bible says the enemy has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. How many know the enemy wants to steal from you? How many know that the Bible says that he is a devourer? Now, put up for me Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse 6. Now, I need somebody to be the Lord. I need somebody to be the Lord. Come here. Matthew, you come be the Lord. You'll be calling on the Lord in just a few weeks when that baby starts screaming at 3 o'clock in the morning. He'll be like, oh, Lord. Right? Come on. Come over here, Lord. Come on. Act like you got some confidence. You made everything. All right? Act like you got some. Act like you in it. All right. I need a devourer. I need a devourer. I need some. Come here. Come here. You're a devourer. You devour meatloaf on Thursday nights over there at Frisch's. Now this is the devourer. He's the devourer, and this is the Lord. Put up Malachi. It says, now what's it say? Verse 6, it says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O son of Jacob. Next verse. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away, and my ordinance have not been kept with them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. Now God says, if you take the tenth, you've robbed God. That's why some of y'all, people that don't tithe in here, you, ladies, you better keep your purses with you. Because if they will rob God, I'm just saying, if they rob God, they reach in that purse. Because you feel good about robbing God, you'll feel good reaching over and grabbing that lipstick, or grabbing that, whatever that is you got in your purses. I won't even go there. But if you'll rob me, and what it's saying in the garden, it says, if you eat of this tree, your eyes will be open. That's the deception of the enemy. Your eyes will be open. You'll become aware. In other words, when you eat of what God says not to eat of, what you've done is you've replaced God with you. You said, I am the sustainer of myself. I take care of myself. God is not the one who takes care of me. But then in verse 11, go to verse 11. Come on, y'all. Come on down to verse 11. Come on down to verse. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of the ground, nor shall the vine bear for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Now, here's how this works. Here's how this works. The devourer wants to come, and what he wants this. All right? If he gets this, then he has a right to this. Y'all see what I'm saying? If he gets that, he gets it all. Look at you grin. You like that, don't you? Apple pie, Chevrolet, right? Hot dogs, farm equipment. Hoorah for international. Hoorah. All right. Come here, God. But if God gets this, he protects that. And he gets nothing. And he's the devourer. But he rebukes the devourer for your sake. He does not get the seed. Now for the devourer to get those apples or get the tithe, and for one who has to get, he has, in other words, he protects this. You get this now. Because if he gets it, you really don't get it. You know why you don't get it? Because what happens is the devourer just doesn't take some of it. He'll take all of it. And he'll eat it up in car repairs. He'll eat it up in all kinds of things that have come on and eat all this up. You think it belongs to you, but the truth is it gets eaten up by the enemy. Why? Because the enemy's job is to steal and to kill and destroy your life. And he will eat the fruit of the ground that you don't distinguish to God. God says you can steward this as long as I get this, and I'll rebuke the devourer. But if I don't get this, then the devourer gets all of this. That's a commanded blessing. That's the commanded blessing of God. Now, I want to go just a little bit further. Can I show you something? All right. All right, God, you stand back over there. Create another world. Devourer, we rebuked you. You go down, sit down next to your wife. We've rebuked you. All right. Now, here's what I want to do. All right. Now, I want to show you how this works. Y'all with me? Is it good? Are we all right? Okay. You're not mad at me, right? Y'all good? All right. All right. Slow down. All right. And now for our cooking entertainment today. All right. All right. All right. Now, there's a world system, right? God says we get the steward over this. And so, there's a world system. Let's just say this is the mall. All right? This is the mall. All right, you got to buy clothes, right? All the shoes and all that stuff. Woo, look at Savannah. She's like, yeah, I'll throw an apple in there. All right? Now, this is like entertainment, sporting events, shows, all those kind of things we go to, right? All right? And then this, we'll just say this is like Visa, MasterCard. You know, MasterCard masters you. MasterCard. All right. Now, if you have a red apple, I want you to come up and put the red apple in one of these. Just come on. Come on. If you got a red apple, come on. Come on. It ain't no trick. I'm not going to trip you. I'm not going to. Just come up and bring. If you got a green apple, put your green apple in here. Come on, all you greens. Come on, all you greens. Come on. Fill it up. Fill it up. Come on. Fill it up. Fill it up. Fill it up. We're finishing. We're finishing. I'm about done. We're finishing. Come on, put it in there. That's it. Fill it up. Y'all liking that mall one, boy. Y'all putting in the mall. That's a green one. That goes over here. That goes on. Everybody's putting in that mall one. They like that mall. Now, this belongs to the Lord. This is how the Lord builds his church. All right? Now, here's what happens. When God's people allows the devourer to take this, it ends up here. Help me out there, God. Thank you. And then the house of God has this. And so, instead of touching a city, we can only touch one person. And it's not a commanded blessing. What happens is you go from a corporate blessing to an occasional, every other time, a blessing. See, sometimes we get satisfied with just living from just one little blessing to the next and don't understand that we can live in a commanded blessing. So, if all that is God's goes back to God, right? Come on, MasterCard, give it up. Take it from the mall. That's that new dress. Mm-hmm. All right. Sporting event. Now, instead of having two apples, God's got everything he needs. His house is full. His storehouse is full. And so now we just don't bless one. We become a blessing to the whole city. We can touch more people. We touch it. You said, well, you're just trying to get me to tithe. You're just trying to manipulate me to get me to tithe. No, I'm not. You know why? Because we've already done it without you. We don't need you. I don't need your money. It's not about money. It's about God trying to get a blessing to you. It's about God's getting your blessing to you. Go ahead and keep your money if you don't want to get it. But I refuse to live under our curse. I'm going to live under the commanded blessing of God for my life. And what happens is when we feel, but here's the thing. What happens is sometimes God can even pull from here when all is in here. God can even use even the wicked to accomplish his purpose in life as long as the storehouse is full and that God fills it up. Here's the thing. God wants to bless you. He wants to put a commanded blessing on your life and my life. But we have to give to God what belongs to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning. Listen, God, you can sit down. I'm gonna use you in a minute. Woo! My God, I didn't even get to all of it. Let me tell you the truth of it. Even Abraham had to give a tenth, and he gave a tenth to a man named Melchizedek. Why? Because God had to put something in front of Abraham so that Abraham had the opportunity to choose to let God know he was owner. And so God blessed him and gave him stewardship over everything else. See, There's a commanded blessing that God wants to release on us. And I'm here to tell you that if you'll obey God and give to God, listen, it's not about money. It's about being obedient to God. That's why God says the Lord will cause your enemies who will rise against you and be defeated before your face. They shall come out one way. You shall come up one way, and they shall flee before you six ways. He said your storehouse shall be full. It says that God will bring healing to your body, your home, your family. God says He'll bless you in every manner there is to be blessed as long as you recognize that He's the owner of it all. Look, I'm not trying to manipulate you. I understand this. This is what I understand. And here's the thing. We've made a declaration we want to win a city. And we can't do it unless people are obedient to give to God what is God's. You say, well, why are you having that tent meeting? Isn't that tent expensive? Isn't them preachers, don't they come in? Do you got to bless them? Yeah, we got to bless them. And I'm not apologizing for it. You know why? Because in 5 years, God's allowed us to obtain 10 acres of property and build a brand new building. You know why? It's not because we've been stingy. It's because when men come through here, we bless them and we recognize the gift and the honor that is on their life. And every time I bring one of those men in here, I don't bring you somebody in here that's like a three-legged dog. You know why I bring people in here that's got an anointing on their life? Because I don't want you just sowing into somebody that doesn't believe God for everything. I want to bring people in here that's done something we haven't. I want to bring people in here like Walter Hallam that has a member church of 5,000 people, and for 30 years he's been faithful in feeding the homeless and touching a whole city and generation. You know why? There's an anointing on his life. And so when you sow into him, you get the commanded blessing that is on his life. Why? Because when you're connected to somebody that has a commanded blessing, you get blessed also. That's why I bring Perry Stone in here. You think I bring it in here because he's just popular on TV? You want to know? He's in 79 different countries. He's touching young people all over the world. And so when I bring him in here, it's an opportunity for you to sow into somebody's life that's done what you haven't. But listen, when we bring him in here, it is a vision. It's a snapshot of what the possibility of what we could do for God. Listen, what we could do for God. I said what we could do for God. We're not where they are, and we may not be doing what they're doing yet. But if the commanded blessing gets on us, woo, look out, world. Look out, world. Now I'm going to pray over you. I know, there he goes again, that preacher. He just takes so long on Sunday morning. Listen, hey. All right. Lift your hands. Come on, there's an anointing on here. God wants to release a commanded blessing into your life. Some of you have let the devourer have it. You've let him have your marriage. You've let him have areas of your life. I'm telling you, understand you don't own it. God does. You're a steward of it. This ain't my church. This is God's church. He just allows me to steward. I have to stand before God for every one of your souls. Every word I preach from this pulpit, I stand before God one day. You say, well, why that preacher? Why is he so bossy? I'll tell you why I'm bossy. Because I've got to stand before God and give an account of why you crazy. Or why you ain't crazy. Or why you ain't of what I preached in this word. You don't think that's a big responsibility to wake up every day? Now I'm trying to get something to you. Oh, he's just about money. No. There's a commanded blessing coming on you in this church. And just like Abraham's going up one side of the mountain, our need is going to be met on the other. Father, I release the commanded blessing of God over your people. I release every words of Deuteronomy 28 over every one of those that have lifted their hands today. I pray, God, they'll be blessed coming in and blessed going out. I pray, God, the blessings of God shall overtake them, and they shall, as they obey the word of God, your blessing shall outrun them. They shall be blessed in the city. They shall be blessed in the country. They shall be blessed with the fruit of their body. Their produce shall increase. There shall be increase in their home, in their finances, in their marriages. There shall be increase. You will cause their enemies to be scattered. And your word says the Lord will command the blessing to come on them in their storehouses, to which whatever they set their hand to, you will bless. We will be a church that recognizes, God, you are the owner of it all. And you've allowed us to steward over it. Now I release the blessing of God, the commanded blessing on every home, every child, every teenager now in the name of Jesus. I pray that as they walk in obedience, God, you will fulfill all that you have for them. They shall not turn to the right nor to the left, but shall be blessed of God. Lord, I pray there shall be more enough in the storehouse to reach a city, to reach a region, to touch other nations and other pastors and other people. And now I pray that when they go, where they go, there'll be a blessing. When they come in, there'll be a blessing. When they leave, there'll be a blessing. Lord, I pray your hand upon Sharon and upon Life Choices. I pray, God, they shall be the model example of what God is doing in this region. I pray that they'll call her from all over because the blessing of God shall overtake them. They shall be the talk of the town. They shall be the example of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, the nation will look to her and look to them and how they've done it. Why? Because the blessing of God shall overtake them. The blessing of God is a commanded blessing on those who are obedient to God. And we just pray life. We pray that every confused mother, woman, man would come to them, would be touched and anointed. We pray you give her anointing to rescue children and to pull them out of the jaws of abortion and the lie of deception. We pray your anointing on them right now, a commanded blessing. Everything they touch shall prosper, and everywhere they go shall prosper. And Father, let this come upon our people. And everyone that believes it, everyone that believes it says, amen. Amen. Come on, give God a great big shout this morning.